Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. We are entering into this time of holiday season with Thanksgiving coming up this next week. And as we look and think about what it is that we happen to be thankful for each one of us, there's different things that come to mind. Every year in the Otsuji family, we get together and go around the table and say what it is that we're thankful for. I'm sure it's similar to many of your families as far as how you have little traditions that you do at Thanksgiving. I look at this year, and it's been a year that's been an incredible blessing. It's this year that I was married to Tasha, and I've been blessed with so many things in my life changing for the better. With this church that has begun and watching God work, bringing an incredible family together, different gifts, and yet one body. Look around and I see other families that have so much to be thankful for. The Lawlers were married this year. The Trost just married recently. Look, and there's been additions to families, as well as there's been hard times this year. Look, and there's been several funerals that I've been a part of over this last year. And yet I can look and be thankful that the funeral services that I've administered this year have been of those that have had faith in Christ. Look, and there's been hardship. For some people, it's been a year of thriving financially. For others, it's been a struggle. Look, and there's joys on the horizon. Both of the Gammy daughters, two of them at least, will be getting married in the next couple months. And it's exciting to think of all that God will continue to do for us and through us. And as we look at Thanksgiving coming up, regardless of our health, or regardless of our financial situation, or regardless of any circumstances which may have taken place in any one of our lives, we have a lot to be thankful for. Paul tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians that the grace of God has spread to many, that it may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. God's grace has been spread to each one of us, 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, that it may cause thanksgiving. Our text for this morning is one that should do that within our heart. Cause thanksgiving. You hear the psalmist saying, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is great and the great King above all gods." We have a lot to be thankful for. First and foremost, our salvation. A salvation that's so great that it causes us to come before him with singing. A salvation that's so great that it causes us to have joy and shout joyfully to him. Enables us to enter his gates with thanksgiving, and to enter his courts with praise, to be thankful to him, to bless his name. For we're told in Psalm 100, "For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations." As we look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, we see that Paul tells us here, "For it pleased the Father that in Him, Christ, all the fullness should dwell." All the fullness. Every bit of who God is found there in Christ. As we looked at last week in verse 15 and 18, that Christ, that He is the image of the invisible God, and that in all things He may have the preeminence. Christ, the fullness of the Godhead. It's fullness. How does that affect us? In John 1:16 it says, "For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." From the fullness of God, from who He is, from Christ, we, each one of us, have received grace upon grace. Incredible. He goes on, he says, "And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself." Reconciliation. A word that most likely is familiar to most of us because we use it every day. You can reconcile your accounts. If it seems as if there's something that's wrong with your accounts and things just aren't measuring up right, I think I have this much money, but the bank says I have this much money. You look and you reconcile your accounts. Never was good at that. For me, reconciling my accounts for most of my life has been going to the ATM and taking out a 20 and seeing what it says. I said, "That sounds about right. Or just as poor as I thought I was." Then God blessed me in that I married an accountant. Now I know exactly how poor I am to the very penny. She reconciles my accounts. Goes through and says, "Oh, wait, this isn't right." For me, online banking has been a huge help. I don't have to keep a checkbook and write things down because it never seemed to work out all that well. I looked, and even in this last year, I found that someone has taken my cards and falsely identified themselves as me and copied all my cards that I had and literally took thousands of dollars that the bank gave back. But I couldn't help but think, how many times have they done this to me over the last 10 years? And I just didn't know because online banking didn't exist for me. And Tasha wasn't reconciling my accounts. Reconciliation takes place when there's an argument between two people. An argument that happens and there's division that takes place. And there comes this need for reconciliation as far as bringing the two back together, making it so that things are okay, working things out. And what we find here in this text is that it tells us by Him, He has reconciled all things to Himself. Christ has reconciled us to Himself. What that tells us is that there was need for reconciliation. There was need for each one of us to be reconciled. We have grown up in the church, by and large, hearing about the love of God. Something that you hear about, you know, like God loves everybody. And we hear phrases like God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And we're filled with this where you could talk to the typical unbeliever. And you would say, "Does God love you?" And the typical unbeliever would say, "Well, yes. Are you going to heaven?" "Yes." "Well, how do you know that to be the case?" "Well, because I think I'm a pretty good person." There's not very many people out there that say, "You know, I think God is really mad at me. Or I'm an enemy of God." They don't look at themselves that way. And yet, we're told in Scripture that that was, in fact, our state. Prior to faith in Christ, we were, Scripture says, enemies of God. We were haters of God, it tells us. The Bible tells us that the inclinations of our heart were only evil continually, that there was such a contrast between us and God as far as everything that was inside of us was unrighteousness, not righteousness. You look and you see in Scripture God talking about His judgment upon unbelievers. People that who have not put their faith in Christ, it tells us that they would be cast into hell for all eternity. For the unbeliever to look and say, I don't think that there's odds between me and God. There's no need for reconciliation. Everything's okay. How could that be? I mean, you look in Scripture and you see a desperate need for reconciliation. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The Bible tells us that hell is a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire isn't quenched, where the worm cannot die. Talks about the lake of fire, the lake of burning sulfur, outer darkness, blackest darkness, separation from God, separation from His glory, eternal torment, place where someone would even cry out that someone would take a drop of water and stick it on their tongue just to give some form of relief. The Bible talks about the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And you think about that, and it brings things back to reality. There was a huge problem between us and God. The sin that was inside of us wasn't something that was small, where God says, boys will be boys. It was something that was severe. God says, you were haters of me. You were enemies with me. There was no place for light with darkness. Totally and completely different. Completely at odds with God. Scripture tells us, and such were some of you. Meaning all of us as Christians. All of us as Christians, prior to being in Christ, prior to our faith, we were completely enemies of God. In contrast to everything that is holy in Him. Now you look at that picture, and you see that there is an incredible need for reconciliation. For if we're not reconciled to God, there could be no doubt that you would spend eternity in a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, eternal torment, everlasting fire. There's no doubt about it. Scripture's so clear on it. Scripture talks about hell more than it talks about heaven, gives vivid details of what it's like. Then it tells us that it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead would dwell bodily, and that He would reconcile all things to Himself. Reconcile each one of us, His people, being brought back to Him. It says, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. We see that this reconciliation is conducted through the blood of His cross. A reconciliation that we are in such desperate need of, that God the Son would go to the cross. A brutal, brutal death on the cross. And yet it's God Himself in Christ, taking the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God upon Himself. It says, and you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. Gives us a description of who we were. Alienated. Unable in any way to ever approach the throne of God. Unable in any way to ever enter into His presence. You are alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. And then it tells us, yet now He has reconciled. Reconciliation. You see here that Christ is the initiator and completer of this reconciliation. Yet now He has reconciled. Turn with me for a moment to 2 Corinthians to chapter 5, verse 19. 2 Corinthians 5:19. There's a few other texts in Scripture that talk about this reconciliation, and 2 Corinthians 5:19 is one of them. In verses 19 through 21, it tells us, well, actually, let's begin with verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is a text that teaches us so much about our reconciliation. We look and we see that, once again, he has reconciled us to himself by Christ. The reconciliation happened through Christ, verse 18. Verse 19. Not imputing their trespasses to them. Not making it so that all of our sins are upon our account. Making it so that it's gone. We're told in Scripture that he has removed them completely from us. They don't even exist anymore. They've been hurled into the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. Look at verse 20. It tells us here, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul's saying, I implore you, be reconciled to God. This Thanksgiving, if you're here this morning and you do not have any faith in Christ, do not trust in him for your salvation, this could be the greatest Thanksgiving ever. Coming to a point of realizing that you've been reconciled to God. Christ, he made him, the Father made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. How does this reconciliation happen? Well, the Father made him, Christ, who also went willingly, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. That's how reconciliation happens. Christ there on the cross taking all of our sins upon himself that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I know it's possible to read through these words and have them kind of go over our head real fast. But these words are words that should bring so much thanks in our hearts. What he's done is he's made it so that all of the righteousness of Christ is placed on our account. Every bit of it. You look at who we were, enemies of God, deserving eternal death. The inclinations of our hearts were only evil continually. And yet what God has done is taken all of our sin upon himself and all of the righteousness of Christ, the perfection of him. Christ fulfilled every commandment. I look at the commandments of God and I read a commandment like, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I look at that and I think, I fail at that daily. Yeah. Loving him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all my strength, that's something that I know I should do. I know that he's worthy of it, and yet I know that I fail. I know that I sin. Love my neighbor as myself, there's sometimes where I do that, and then there's sometimes where I don't. Sometimes where with my neighbor, just like all of us here, we fail in really ministering to their needs, being the kind of friends that we should be, being willing to challenge them and exhort them, caring about our neighbor as if it was even ourselves, we fail in those areas. And yet Christ never did. Not once did Christ ever fail to love his Father with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, with all of his strength. Not once. Not once did Christ fail in loving his neighbor as himself. Not once. Not once did Christ ever have a lustful thought. Not once did Christ ever commit adultery. Not once did Christ ever cheat. Did he ever lie? Did he ever become angry in a sinful way? Not once did Christ ever miss the mark. Rather, he fulfilled all righteousness. He always praised the Father with all of his heart, with all that was within him. He always did that which was right, and all of that righteousness, as this text tells us, has become our righteousness. Every bit of it. For us, it's the most freeing thing because we look at it as Christians and we say, you mean he'll never see me as more perfect than he does right this second? And my answer to you is no. As a Christian, he will never see you as more perfect than he does right now. You may look at your life and say, well, I don't know about that. I mean, he can't be happy with me right now because I've really blown it in all of these different areas. My prayer life isn't what it should be. Taxes, this year I haven't done very well on my taxes. When it comes time to tithe, I pay my credit card sometimes before I tithe. When it comes time to be the perfect dad or the perfect mom, I fail. I mean, sometimes I just want to throw up my hands and just walk away. When it comes time to be the husband I'm supposed to be or the wife that I'm supposed to be, I fail. There's just so many things in my life that are in such a mess. Surely if I get things right, then he'll love me more. And my question to you would be, is your faith in the work of Christ on the cross for your salvation? If the answer is yes, then a billion years from now, when you're in eternity, or when you've been with him for millennium after millennium, in his presence, praising him, not ceasing day or night, enjoying him, never sinning because there's a new nature, complete change, a new body, and you're in heaven a billion years from now, after millennium after millennium of praising him and living for him, serving him, enjoying him, he will not love you any more than he does right now. He won't see you as more perfect than he does right now. Why? Because of reconciliation. Because he's reconciled us to himself and made it so that the account is perfect. He's made it so that there's friendship that's there. No longer are we enemies of God. Was it because we took the first step? No, it's because he reconciled us. He made it so that we could be friends of him. Children, a bride, adopted into his family, justified, made as if we had never sinned ever, not once. It's what he's done for us. It's the best news that anybody could ever hear. I think of how it was for Isaiah when it tells us that he was before the Lord in his temple. And the train of God's robe filled the temple. And there's those angels that were there that were saying, holy, holy, holy. And crying out to him and singing and worshiping. And it tells us that Isaiah fell down and he said, I am a man of unclean lips and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. He was before the throne of God and he just fell down seeing that he had sinned and that the people around him had sinned. And there's this angel that goes and grabs with some tongs, some hot coals, or hot coal, and flies down and touches the lips of Isaiah. Now, it seems a little brutal. Lips are one of the most sensitive parts of our bodies where you burn that area and it just hurts. And a coal is placed on Isaiah's lips. And the angel says that his iniquities have been removed. Now, for us to come before the throne of God, like Isaiah, we'd have to be in a situation like that where the angel comes down and touches our lips with a hot coal and says, your iniquities have been removed. And in that case, it was temporary. But through the shed blood of Christ on the cross, there is no need for any hot coal ever to be placed on any one of us. It was placed on Christ. Scripture tells us that we get to enter into his kingdom before his throne with confidence, boldly. Not in our own righteousness, but because we've been clothed in his righteousness, because we've been reconciled to him. We get to enter into the joy of the Lord. We get to experience every blessing. Scripture tells us if he's given us his own son, how much more will he also freely give us all things? Our salvation can't be improved upon. Reconciled. Think about that this Thanksgiving. As it's time to give thanks, imagine what it would be like if we were still enemies of God. If we were still alienated from him. If we were still going in a direction completely opposite of him, towards eternity in hell, towards complete separation from the glory of God, under the wrath of God, children of wrath. And then imagine Christ coming and saying, I've reconciled you. Your sins are removed. I've clothed you with robes of righteousness, my very righteousness. I'll never take it away. It'll never be removed. I'm your God. You are my people. I will bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I'm a covenant God, and I'm a covenant keeper. And I've made covenants with you, my people. Be reconciled. Would you be thankful? I adventure to say yes, very thankful. So thankful that you wouldn't know what to do, but praise him. So thankful that everything else in this world that seems to cause so much heartache would seem so much smaller in comparison to what we've been blessed with. Turn with me for a moment to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Tells us that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It's reconciliation. It tells us we once were aliens and strangers, having no hope and without God in the world. There's people that struggle with depression. So many people in this world that struggle with depression. So many people that look and see things seem to be hopeless sometimes. They look at their circumstances and they think, I'm so sad. My situation is so desperate. Things aren't turning out the way that I wanted them to turn out. But for the Christian, our answer isn't to be heavily medicated. Our answer isn't to go to special clinics. Our answer isn't to find a hobby. Our answer is found here where it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you once who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You once were without hope. You've been now brought near by the blood of Christ. If we take time to think on these things and take time to meditate on these things and take time to realize what it is that we have to be thankful for, it changes everything for us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. Look here and find another passage of Scripture that deals with this reconciliation that we have. In verses 8 through 11, it tells us, but God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And so it talks to us clearly about this reconciliation. It tells us that God is demonstrating His love towards us, and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. While we are still enemies of God, aliens from Him, strangers, haters of Him, it tells us He died for us. We've been saved from wrath through Him. That is significant. Saved from wrath. Saved from the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. I tell you, if we had just some inclination as to what that meant, we would praise Him constantly with all that is within us. If we could just taste a little bit of what eternity in hell would be like, we would forever praise Him. If we can look in Scripture and see the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God and listen to the words of God as far as tormented day and night, weeping, gnashing of teeth, outer darkness, blackest darkness, separation from God, and listen to these words and just started to think about them, and then realize by His blood we shall be saved from wrath through Him. This would be the greatest Thanksgiving week ever. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Reconciled, made as if everything was okay, brought back into fellowship with God, saved by His life. And then Paul says, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So what happens to us when we are reconciled? We're made back into a relationship of perfect fellowship with God, friendship, sins removed, gone. Tells us in verse 22 of our text that through the body of His flesh, through death, He presents us holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. He's made you holy. He's made you blameless. He's made you above reproach in His sight. This is so significant to us. I don't care what it is that you've done in this life. What sins have been committed. Through the work of Christ on the cross, you will stand before Him and you will be blameless. Blameless. Holy. Above reproach. To have reproach is to have something within you that is worthy of disapproval. And God says, there'll be none of it. There'll be no disapproval. And he's done this. And so how do we respond to this reconciliation? Well, there in Romans 5 it says, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. If in this life, as you look at this year, you look and you say, there's been hard times. As you look at this year and think, maybe, I don't know, I mean, I guess I'm thankful for some things, but it's been a hard year. Or if at this time of Thanksgiving, you start to think about what you're thankful for, and the things that come to your mind are health, finances, safety of family members, good job. And you think about those things, you think, oh, I'm thankful. Then don't stop there and go even further to your rejoicing with joy inexpressible and full of glory. The greatest joy that anybody could ever know, and that is because you've been reconciled to God. Made his people, forgiven of every sin, and have it bring you to a point where you praise him. We're told from Titus, in Titus 2, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And so we conclude with Jude chapter 1, verse 24, if you want to turn there with me. Jude 1, 24. I pray that we would go into this Thanksgiving week with this on our minds, our reconciliation. Jude 1:24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. We leave this place this morning worshiping the one who's able to keep us from stumbling. Worshiping the one who is able to present us faultless or blameless or holy or above reproach before the presence of his glory. Next three words are key, with exceeding joy. To the God that's able to do that, to the God that's able to make us have smiles on our faces, even in the midst of trials, to God that's able to make us rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, this morning, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, you have given us so many reasons to be thankful this morning. But we focus on reconciliation. God, thank you so much that we are no longer enemies. We're no longer strangers. We're no longer aliens. Thank you that you've brought us near to you by the blood, your shed blood on the cross. Thank you that you've made us holy and blameless and above reproach. Thank you that we could approach your throne boldly, having confidence, clothed in robes of righteousness, being perfected, being forgiven, being made your bride, your children, brought into your family, a part of the household of God. You've not withheld any good thing from us. You're our strength. Your Holy Spirit resides in our hearts. We're new creations in you. Old things have passed away. Lord, behold, all things have become new. We are a blessed, blessed people called by your name. Names are written in the book of life, and the second death will have no power over us. Freed from your wrath, freed from your judgment, and given everlasting life with you. Not by our own good works, not by anything that we've ever done, but solely upon your grace and your mercy and your great love with which you've loved us with, Lord. We praise you this morning. We leave this place, Lord, singing praises to you with thankful hearts because we see us as being the most blessed people of all the peoples of this earth, resting in your grace and your mercy. Help our praises, Lord, this morning to reflect the thankfulness that's inside our hearts. And may you be exalted in this church. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.